Welcome to Caribbean Millennials.
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of your favorite podcasters, the Caribbean Millennials. Cue music. Yeah. All right.
Jazzy.
How you guys? Episode 104. How you guys doing?
We're feeling vaccinated.
Hey, you'll get that double dose.
That second shot.
Two doses.
So you'll have the whole Pfizer now, not just the PFI.
Yeah, exactly. But part of it, you know,
all the letters. I still missing the Zeneca from the Astra.
Oh shit, boy! When you supposed to get that one?
This week actually.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, so coming in hot like a muffin.
Is it the same? Do they have like a system, or do you just show up and get it?
Well, basically they staggered it, so they let people know depending on the date you took it in March. This is when they send out a little flyer, you know, the flyers we deal with.
I mean, it's something, right?
And yeah, yeah.
Did you say coming in hot like a muffin? And by muffin, did you mean like muffins from at Tibush Bakery? Oh, or at Tibush Kitchen, sorry.
Oh, did they pay for this advertisement?
I was about to ask. Paid for?
Yeah, because... That would depend if I had muffins or not. Look,
if it's not paid for, this is the one freebie that they get for the year, you know?
Tibush Kitchen. It's an artisanal.
Wow. Did you even prepare this piece? Right? Like, usually when you segue, it's supposed to be smoother than that. You just sound like you're tripping.
Wow. Right? Okay, fine.
Just stumble into it.
I'll come back better.
Next time. But yes, I did come in hot like a muffin from Tibush Kitchen.
Oh boy. Okay. So yeah, how was your week, Sky? Anushka,
That's why she wasn't prepared to advertise, you see that? She's not thinking on the fly. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Come on, my girl. You can't see me. What?
Bars.
Anushka, getting picked on since 1991.
You thought getting picked on? How was your week, Adani?
My week was good, right? First week, back in the classroom. Oh. Yeah, it's a mess right now in terms of, like, just things to do because the Form 5s are leaving soon, so they have the SBAs, and then every other form is in term 3. So it's just hectic right now. And like, I think because kids have been sent home 3 times now, they just don't even care anymore. Like, cause they were sent home last year, March. They came back in September. They were sent home again in October. They came back in January. They didn't even make it to February. So everybody's like, okay, so sir, just show us everything you need to show us in the 2 weeks and then we'll go home.
Well done. They over it.
Yeah. Everybody's just like, yeah, what, school doesn't even matter anymore. Obviously, we're going to get sent home sometime or another. Somebody going to die or get COVID or whatever.
Wow.
It is whatever. Yeah, they're like, yeah, so we're just going to come back in 2022 and yeah, start this all over. I'm like, well, damn. That's bleak. So trying and raise the morale, you know, and then the form files are just like, yeah, well, you know, what are we going to do, CXC? So yeah, it is what it is.
I would think they would, you know, try to really incorporate or make use of the online learning going forward. At least I would hope, but it doesn't seem like they're going to do that. It sounds like, from what I hear, it sounds like they're just scrapping that, like, okay, like, all right, back to normal.
Okay, we had a bad year.
Yeah. I think the problem is that they're trying to do what they have always done for the last 100 years physically. They're just trying to replicate it online. But that's not how online education works.
Yeah.
And it just beating them with a bat as to how they go approach online education and in-class tutoring at the same time. So right now what I'm doing is I'm doing most of the things that need physical computers in class or practical stuff in class. And then the theory stuff we handle on the online platform.
Yeah, so
you get quizzes and other stuff like that in class. You do your Excel, your spreadsheet, your Word, your Access, etc.
Well, here's the thing. Honestly, I believe doing it that way, the whole online stuff, and not to get sidetracked, I know we have a topic, but you know, I feel doing it that way, it probably takes the pressure off the teachers as well, because if you're doing it in an online system, when you give a child a quiz online, you have to sit down and grade the quiz. More than likely, you can put in a little question bank and they pick the question and automatically grades it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of, you know, and you can keep a grade book online right there. You don't have to, you know.
Well, also the sustainability aspect of it, right? Like people and resources, you know, all of
that. So, you know, honestly, I'm hoping they revisit and maybe rethink how they use it, because I feel like that's a good tool to use. I don't say it'll replace teachers and replace school altogether, but I feel it's a good supplemental thing, and it probably takes the pressure off the teachers and helps, you know, because some children, maybe they learn a little slower than others. You know, you can, it takes away, you know, that one child slowing down a class when everybody can do it at their own pace at home and whatnot. You tell them, all right, this is due by next week at this time. And
I think it kind of prepares them for the college environment that they enter as well, right? Like that's how it is in the next step. So if you're used to, you know, you're going to have a test here, and it's going to be online, and it's, you know, going to be in this way. I mean, even as we kind of said it, I thought about it, just think about all the paper used to print tests and quizzes and stuff like that. Y'all remember, you know, third term teachers walking in with them big stacks of exams. Paper
stapled together and they handed that out.
And it wasn't even that we were doing it like the States, where you had multiple choice and scantrons and all of that. Yeah.
It freaked me out when I got it. I mean, I think did we ever use scantron when we were in St. Lucia?
Only for like
CXC.
Yeah, CXC and common entrance.
Yeah, common entrance. But like when we got up here, it was like everything like multiple choice scantron. Like
I'm like, I remember the first time I'm like, what's a scantron?
Really?
Well, I didn't know that was it was like a multiple choice.
But
scantron before.
Remember, Vernon, you had to actually buy your scantron at the school library or supply store and walk with that to class.
They had a vending machine in the library that was selling. Every vending machine on campus had a slot that was selling scantron.
Yeah, man.
In a vending machine, you'd see like chips, some cookies, scantron.
And if, I don't know if people know what we're talking about, but the scantron is just the multiple choice.
It's a long sheet with multiple choice, like
A to E, and they run it through the thing.
And at the end, they run it through a machine to It was crazy. So, and I think about when I started doing school up here, like you go in a class and it's just like, okay, your exam is online. Look, my master's, there was every semester in doing my master's, I had like two classes completely online. I never saw the teacher. To this day, I don't know who this man is. He doesn't have a picture on the school website.
That would be how you would be if you were a professor.
The man doesn't have a picture on the school website. I cannot find him on LinkedIn. All I know is he puts out his lectures, he puts out his assignments, quiz, everything right there online. I know what his voice sounds like, because he would record some of his lectures, like when you want to demonstrate something, he'd record it and put it out there. But other than that, I have no clue what the man looks like.
Anyway, Adani, we wish you the best of luck as you...
Thank you. I need luck and I need Jesus.
instead of putting Jesus in your Christmas, you have to put him in your third term this year.
Yeah. And the summer.
Anything else?
Funnily enough, before we continue, I just found out that people that I have on Twitter are actually students at the school. That was weird.
that's
mad. Student literally came up to me and said, "Are you this user on Twitter?" And I was like, "Wait a minute. What are you doing on Twitter? You have CXC."
I would be the child, be like, "No, grab the phone and smash it." Like, what are you talking about?
Me? You saw nothing.
Never.
Now you just gotta own it. Adani.
That's the age you're in, you know.
Yeah.
You run across the students online.
Exactly. I did that. This is the age that we're in. Like, I might just be beating my students on PSN. Like, I don't know. It could be. Possible. Who knows? Yeah. Just 2 shots in Warzone, you know? And go do your homework one time.
Maybe that's how you should do extra credit and things like that. Like,
oh, if you can beat me in a video game, you get extra credit.
Yeah. I'll give you 5 marks if you can beat me in this video game. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be creative and like find a way to tie it back to IT, but I'm sure there's a way.
Why? So here's my question, and I don't want to, you know, stress like whatever, we did last week. But no, because we on this topic here, and I'm curious. All these children, right? They're on the internet, they're online, you know, they hip with the tech and all of that stuff. But are they even good in IT? Adani? Yes, no, maybe. I think Adani meets himself.
But I mean, even when we're talking about IT, like, what is IT at the CXC level, though? Like, it's not.
So here's the thing, and I get
like questions that need answers. Are they still doing mail merge in Word in IT?
Probably, but listen, at the time when they were teaching IT to us for CXC and whatnot, I understand why they were teaching it that way. Because I think their whole thought process was to give you a skill so that if you decided to go into the workforce immediately after CXC, like you're going to work in government as a secretary
or just office admin
and whatnot, you'd be able to work in Excel, you'd be able to work in Access, you'd be able to work in Word, you do a mail merge, you can do a VLOOKUP and all that jazz and whatnot. I go to be honest with you all. Missy, I have not done a VLOOKUP ever in my life.
Every time I have to do it, I have to go and look up how to do it. And then so long passes before I do it again, so I always forget.
I haven't done a VLOOKUP ever in my life after CXC. Then I went on to Masters and I did stats, and my statistician taught stats online, and he did the stats using Excel, and he taught us VLOOKUP and HLOOKUP again. Never use that again since. So for me, it's like, bruh, I learned in these things like...
I even when it comes to Excel, and I was like a Excel baddie in college, and I kind of missed it because I didn't get to use the stuff in work life. So I
now don't get me wrong. Finish it. No, don't get me wrong. Not that I don't use Excel, because I use the fuck out of Excel. Mm-hmm. Just never use the VLOOKUP or HLOOKUP again, because I have mad formulas.
I feel like in IT, the most useful thing for my life was Excel.
Yeah. Oh no, because I have a lot of formulas and spreadsheet and work.
Yeah.
Fill out commands for me, so I fill in the variables.
Excel and Word
writes the command for me on another page.
So Adani, are they still doing mail merge in Word?
That's like a staple, my girl. Mail merge is to IT in the Caribbean what Y equals MX plus C is to mathematics. See, that's like a staple.
Now, that's the thing. I remember when I did it for IT, I was like, this is so useless.
I say it's useless, but it's not.
Mailmerge is useful.
It's useful. Because I'm just going to think about it. You, in your job, you'll do marketing campaigns, email campaigns, right? And you'll probably send out customized emails to people. Mm-hmm. That's what Mailmerge is. It's just that you'll have a tool for it now.
That's the thing. Technology has progressed, so Mailmerge is not that important. And the last time I did a VLOOKUP was to teach other people how to do VLOOKUP.
Okay. But in the Caribbean, nobody have money to pay for the tool that your company has that does that. So they have to teach them to do mail merge.
We can't even afford Microsoft Office, but that's a different topic.
Wow.
Oh my God. Let's not go
down. Okay.
So how are your week?
My week was odd. Like, what day? There was a day you had like back-to-back fucking interviews, Oi, and meetings. Was it Thursday? I don't know what day it was, but yo, I realized I really don't like people. I was mentally
shocker.
Guys,
hands up if you're surprised.
I know, right? Like, Fernand doesn't like people. What? News to me.
I didn't know how bad it was until that day was that I was mentally and physically like exhausted and drained.
Fernand, it always feels like you mentally and like, physically exhausted.
It was bad. Like, I came downstairs and I had a pounding fucking headache because it was just a lot of non-stop
small talk.
Yo, a guy came in the interview and was saying, oh, you know what? The guy said about, oh, like, you know, he tried to get a job so he can buy a ring to marry his girlfriend. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck that have to do with why we hired you? Right. I don't care. I really don't care. And if it's one thing, and you all need to know about me. You know when we watch those reality shows and they ask the contestants something and they converse and say, oh, my dad used to bake and he died of cancer, so yeah, I'm baking for him.
Double homicide.
Yes. I hate the sad story.
That's a running like joke, I guess, in our house when something comes up and we're like, oh, sad story. Wait.
I hate the sad story. So when people come in interviews and start giving sad stories, I'd just be like, bro, like, what are we doing here? Like my guy, I come here to ask you some questions to see what you know and for you to sell yourself to me. The sad story is helping me, okay?
But sometimes interviewers ask you, like, you know, personal things and, you know, you just have to tell the truth. Not in a sad story kind of way, but, you know.
Exactly, right there, Danny. Not in a sad story kind of way. Because you can tell when somebody fishing for pity. I get, and that is just, oh, that
Vernon has fists right now, guys, just to give you all that visual.
So my week was odd and it was filled with a lot of meetings and a lot of useless talk from other people, and I just felt so drained and tired that at the end, what I literally did on Friday was made my business to do absolutely nothing. And even then, I couldn't absolutely do nothing because people were still pulling me into meetings. My boss have a thing he's doing. He's just sending you a meeting on your calendar.
Vernon, so would this sum up your week? Death by 1,000 meetings?
If only it was 1,000. It was more than 1,000. Oh my God. What?
And weirdly, I use meetings now as an excuse. Yeah, sorry, can't do anything right now. I'm in a meeting. Like, Friday, I was asked to stay back to facilitate a meeting. I'm like, these people can't use a room, like, on their own? Like, come on, bro. Like, I don't need to be here.
Yeah. Nah. I'm telling you that I was looking, like, I look at my calendar to see what my week has planned for me. But now I'm not even bothering doing that again because there might be a day I may look at tomorrow and see like, oh, Thursday is free. And then by like 1 o'clock, my boss would have sent like 5 meetings for me for Thursday. And now Thursday is not free anymore.
Thursday no free no more.
Dog, I find I just like, I have to talk to too many people. Like, it's too much talking.
I can't wait for like artificial intelligence. Or you can just program your responses in and just have your machine talk to people for you.
You say that jokingly, but I've actually been looking into something to auto-reply for me on Teams.
Uh-huh. Noted. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We'll add it to my calendar. Mm-hmm. We'll add it to the to-do list. Okay. Sounds good.
I'm over them. I'm over everybody. Yeah. Anushka, how was your week? I think you said you were vaccinated. We are vaccinated. What happened to you?
It was great.
All right, cool.
No, but like, similar to you, I thought I was kind of having a bad week, but then when I ended and I was behind, but then when I had like progress meetings, everyone was like, oh, this is amazing. So I was like, hallelujah, I'm going to take a break now.
I didn't know I was having a bad week because I was in the bad week.
I didn't know I was having a good week until I was in the like praise of like it being a good week.
Like, when it sound like a pothole. You don't know you're not pothole to you,
bro. Right? Oh, I didn't know how bad it was till I was till Thursday and I was in like the fourth meeting. And I look back at my calendar, I saw how many other meetings I had gone to. I was like, damn, I really talked to people for the week. Eh? Like, shit, dog.
I had a good week. Work-wise, we did the vaccination. It wasn't, we didn't have any bad side effects or anything like that.
Because we're not weak.
I have a neighbor friend and I got to hang out with them this week. I'm going kayaking later today. I've entered the world of playing Mario Kart for Switch.
Ooh. Fight me. Let's go. Let's
not
go.
Not yet. Vernon's sister, probably, but probably not me.
She will track you. More than likely.
So it's unnatural. I mean, I've just been tapping into just trying to have more fun. You know?
Finally.
It's Taurus season, trying to be my best self.
Oh, we in that place that nobody can deny. Oh, that too.
Haters gonna hate. It's okay.
You're in about two to three weeks.
Yep.
Anything good this week, guys? I don't know.
You know already lots, but
more volcanoes exploding, more earthquakes happening,
more people dying at the hands of police officers.
For the first time, they found somebody guilty. Surprise, surprise!
Oh yeah. Yeah, progress, and then they killed like 3 black people unarmed.
And right after,
right, like right after,
to make up for that one police officer that went to jail. Yeah.
But anyway, we're not going down that path. What are we talking about this week? Because I not mentally.
So this episode brought to you by the kind people. No, they're not kind. That's why we have to talk about them. Customer service. Customer. Freaking service in the Caribbean.
Danny, why I feel like you had that on your chest, dog. Like, that
was deep. Yes. Yes.
I've been in these feelings for a while.
I have. Since I moved
Danny,
back.
The floor is yours.
The floor is yours.
You know, to segue smoothly, you know, into customer service.
Better than Anushka segue.
You know, right, how police officers in the US can't de-escalate. That's customer service in the Caribbean region. You have to help your own self get good customer service. You have to come in there with a smile, right? You have to ask them how their day is looking. You have to compliment them on how good they look. Yeah. Yeah. You have to grease their wheels, right? And then you have to pay them a bunch of compliments and then talk to them. No, try and find something, some common ground. And eventually, after you've done all those steps, they might get up and help you. Right? Damn. Failure to do those 5 steps. Failure to do those 5 steps might lead you to leaving the store if nothing at all.
That was so accurate because as you described it, I saw myself doing it when I was in Tintinshire.
So Adani said that, like, no, Adani said jokingly, but he's
no, but right, it's absolutely
it's
true.
So right. And I mean, I haven't been back home for a while, but my last customer service experience I remember was with Flo. And y'all know how your boy feels about Flo.
I don't even know if she works there anymore, but
the one good person at Flo, Yasma.
Shout out Yasma. Don't know if you listen to the podcast. We love you forever.
Yeah, that's the only person that would help us when we'd come in and actually be helpful.
But
to the point that Yasma would tell us, yo, look my number or look me on Twitter. DM me before you come up. I can help
y'all.
Sort it out for y'all.
But that's the thing, like that was superb customer service, but it was so rare that you almost like, you know, this is a unicorn, right?
Yeah. The problem is usually you know somebody there, so you get it good. But not that the entire organization has a high level of customer service. That's the issue.
A priority.
Yeah. Right. Unless you go into like a bar, like, in fact, even bars,
even when you go to a bar, it's not, you know, the best.
So yeah, it's not. Bars, but I would say bars are easier to manage than like customer service wise than Flo or any other larger company. But the fact that they sell in drinks kind of negates how much customer service they feel they have to provide.
So, I have a question, because it's not that we're saying customer service is only bad in the Caribbean. We're not saying that, because it's bad everywhere.
Oh yeah, globally.
Globally. But I want to know, what do y'all think is the cause of it being bad in the Caribbean?
I think there's no repercussions in the Caribbean. That's okay. If you experience bad customer service in the US or in a larger country, like, and it's done often enough, like, that person going to have 1 star on Yelp, that person going to have 1 star on Google reviews, that person going to have a bunch of YouTube videos made about them, they're going to be on forums, Facebook pages, like, you know, Twitter, like, one bad experience on Delta, and you go on and you tag Delta in something and it go viral, like, made it. You go to, you tag Flo and tell Flo you had a bad day. Flo telling you, well, come back again next week. Like,
that's what this kill me. It's the fact that they just respond to you.
Well,
and there's be some snappy responses. Yeah.
If you tell KFC they you didn't like the chicken today, KFC send you a meme. Eh? Like, sounds like a personal problem.
I don't know if to be impressed or be upset.
Let's savage.
Because marketing.
Before there was nothing, there was no response to anything.
Like yeah. Right? You couldn't even complain.
Or it would have been a fight in the KFC when somebody walk back to KFC and bring back their meal or whatever.
I know a guy that climbed the counter. Eh? Me say he gonna put the sandwich himself because he can't believe them people taking so long. He gonna make the zinger himself in the back.
No. Danny, I've known somebody who's thrown the biscuits at the people because the biscuits were stale and hard.
That must have hurt. Biscuit to the face.
Seen that one. Well, guys, but let's break that down, right? Because Adani said there are no repercussions and there's not like the system of reviews, right? Is a thing of accountability for businesses in regards to customer service, right? It's reputation management, right? That's what we call digital marketing. But part of that also stems from some of the companies are the only thing.
I was just about to say, right? That. You can write reviews about
them. They are a commodity. There's no other option. So you can write about me negative or positive, say what you want. You're still going to have to use me, right? Yeah. So it's like the water companies.
The best of the worst.
Yeah, or it's only maybe two options, or the it's two evils, one or the other, right? You know, two phone companies, one water company, one electricity company, one major supermarket chain, you know, like, what are you gonna do? Because it's like you can complain as much as you want, you're still going to be here next week, so which is horrible, but it's like a reality, right?
Yeah, but so here's my thing.
And then let me add another thing. It's like, but then now there are these young people who have gone away or know of the tools and stuff like that, and you know, start giving reviews or start saying things, and then they get met with backlash for not seeing something favorable, right? That's another piece.
Yeah.
But go on to your point.
What I was going to say is, and hear me out, guys, maybe I'm crazy.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe.
But do you believe that in a case like that, we should be using tools or organizations like the Bureau of Standards to police these people? And maybe, you know, you're getting good reviews for the past how many months, fine, or something like that.
I think
extreme, but maybe that's the only way we can
get. I think the Bureau of Standards is there to make reports and formal complaints on something, you know. But if it's a I just don't like this. It's not like a health hazard or something like that. That's a whole different story. It's just, it's either that people are going to continue giving reviews and businesses are just going to have to adapt and adjust, or people will not want to speak their mind to not like expose themselves to anything. Well,
my question is, and the reason why I brought that up is because I'm trying to figure out what can we do to get people to up their customer service game.
Yeah, just one more point, yeah. Reviews, quote unquote, has been a thing for a long time in the sense of word of mouth.
Word of mouth,
right?
Yeah.
I think the difference now is people writing things down that live on the internet forever, yeah, or people who have a large social media following saying things, and then that really gets out because people may say, I'm a small business, why are you trying and bash me? And it's not even necessarily bashing, it's just being honest. But the old school thing is, if you don't have nothing good to say, don't say anything at all, right?
Yeah,
but people want to know the truth these days. So it's kind of like in direct conflict of how things used to be, you know? Go ahead.
If you have nothing good to say, then don't say anything at all. So then why you give me bad customer service in the first place? If you had nothing good to give.
You have a point. And my thing is, if somebody's saying they're not trying to bash you, maybe they're just trying to help you up your customer service game. Maybe you have a good product, but they just need you to be, maybe just be a little nicer when the customer comes in.
Yeah. And talk to them. It's simple. For Caribbean things, it's almost like there's the, just to reach on what you're saying, Vernon, the rite of passage that the places that serve the best food, especially, like you have to get almost mistreated as a customer to eat there.
Like the lady behind the cashier is like, what you want? What
the hell you want there? And like you know it's bad customer service, but the food's so good, you just deal with it.
Yeah, so it's like maybe just up your customer service game. And then so here's my question. I didn't want to go there because, you know, I don't know.
Go. But
do you think that tourists get treated that same way?
You know the answer?
No.
Okay. So why is it that the tourists will get the nice, good treatment, but you have to mistreat your... It's money nonetheless, no matter who it's coming from. It's money.
Well,
I think we have that 400 years a slave mentality.
Yeah,
so, exactly. And, you know, tourism is more important than locals. So, you know, don't upset the tourists.
But here's the thing, right? For tourists, it's called hospitality. For just everyday interactions, it's quote unquote like customer service / like you'll get what I give you.
But here's my
thing. It's like, oh, who that? My thing is like the back talking, right? Because it's like, they may have an interaction with somebody. It may be favorable or not, or they don't say anything, but you can tell it's not a good vibe. And then you'll turn around and they'll say, who that girl thinks she is could come here and say this, that, and whatever, right? Like, it's like this fight down thing. So it's almost as if there's a problem with giving service. You know, like, it's a negative thing to...
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a problem with giving the service initially, and then there's a problem with taking feedback. Because if the service, maybe the service is not that bad, but something could have been better. Whether it be the food, the service, the product, whatever it might be. You know, you reach out to them, you say, hey, you know, I really like what you're doing, but you know, this time it wasn't that good, etc., etc. Then things explode, things escalate from there, because who do you think you are? Everybody else say that good. Huh? Why you have to come and say not good now? Huh? Just you're not getting no money back. Just take your thing and go. You even ask for money back yesterday, but it's just like, you know, it's like people's like egos and mentality just cannot allow them to say, oh, we're sorry you feel that way. We'll do whatever we can to improve the product. How can we keep you as a customer? How can we improve? How can we do better? You know? Nah. You want to fight?
And it always has to be personal, right?
Yeah.
Personal. It cannot just be...
You come there and talk about somebody donuts. The person telling you, you run like a donut. You don't even need more donuts. That's why you don't like
it. Oh, my God.
That's like, so accurate.
You can't say anything to me. So just watch yourself.
Oh, my God.
So it's like you have to be in the privacy of your home or your car or whatever to say, me, I'm not going there again, huh?
And that's what most solutions do. That's why businesses die. They get bad service and then they just never return. They never see anything. Yeah. They just don't go back.
Or you can be a savage like my mother and have them put bars in the bakery after you threaten to throw the bread behind the lady behind the counter because she sold you stale bread. Yeah, sorry guys, that happened. If you go,
so it's people like your mother that
I think is Kadas and Kashris. It have the bars because of my mother. You can thank her for that, people.
I was the only one who probably.
I think there's a lot of stale bread.
I remember that day.
She was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Like the next day we came back and there were bars. Like, it was bad.
If we get one more pan loaf to the head, you know, we just, it's going to close the shop down. But there was this restaurant I remember, right? And the guy was, I guess, fairly popular. But after a while, that's another thing, right? A place opens up really nice for like 3 to 6 months. And then after that, it just falls. And they don't hear anything about their quality because they only live in on the first 6 months of good reviews. So eventually, right, this person didn't take heed of all the warnings. His food was getting people sick and people just stopped coming. And, you know, shop had to close down. You're not hearing that you cannot make green fig salad and potato salad with mashed potatoes and leave that out in a hot kitchen, no cooling for the entire day. Yeah, with mayo.
Yeah.
So, like, when you start cooking at 7 and you're serving people that food at 1, something egg will be too right with that mayo dish.
that goes bad very quickly, So, guys, because I know the listeners who think we're just ranting and bashing our people.
Mentality, training.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
What are the solutions? How we can? Because
how do you change the mentality?
Oh boy.
Two, how do employees, managers, whatever, get better training and that kind of thing? Well,
you say, I think the training comes before the mentality. I think you train them, right? And
order to get the mentality. Yes,
exactly. And I think during the training, you will be able to see who cuts out for it, who have the, you know, they can do the customer service.
Mm-hmm. And then three, as a part of that, like, how do you receive feedback? And are you even open to receiving feedback? Do you ask for feedback? Because I think a lot of people do not ask for feedback, right?
Yes. Or that should be a part of the training.
It's not only part of the training, it's the part business of model. Management, business ownership, right? Like, you know.
You as the manager can't be too hands-off and let people run your business down into the ground
and
because you're just in the back office, A lot of times the manager started the company, they were very good with customers, now they're managing things on their back end and the people they hired just not living up to what they had established originally. And, you know, it's just...
No, you're right, Danny. Sometimes the manager needs to just come out on the floor, just observe his people for a while, see how they're doing, you know. Maybe have a
meeting
once a week. Hey, guys, you know, I notice when you'll talk to the customers, you're talking to them this way, all saying this.
Remember that place we used to eat in town? Me, you, Popo, Danny, sometimes. Italian, right? The Italian. And when the owner was there, service top-notch. Service... Before you sit down, they pull the chair out, you get all your food ordered, and that's like a $10 to $19 meal, right? Yeah. When the manager go off to the bank or somewhere, you meet him when he's not there, and the staff there, pick a seat. What you want? Mm-hmm. Pick something out the fridge.
Right? Mm-hmm. Taking how long to come and ask you what you want.
The food not cooking properly. Only when the manager not there. When he there, the same people cooking the food amazingly well.
But that's the thing. The manager sees that not as $10, but they see it as a customer lifetime value of $1,000, right? If you come back multiple times over, you know, however long. I have a question
for you. Guys, do you all think if we operated and we allowed tips in customer service in the Caribbean, the customer service would get better?
Tips are allowed. I think you mean if we made it mandatory?
Yes, yes, you're right, Adani. If we made it mandatory, do you think it would be better?
Because now, I think we have a sense of entitlement that runs through things, right? That people may... that's all they think they could give me.
Yeah, but if you give me the customer service with the amount you should get.
I think it goes back to management and ownership.
Okay.
Depending on how it's structured, I think it could work. But again, the Caribbean mentality and because in the US, they don't get paid fairly.
Yeah.
Right? So... tips are actually a way for them to survive. At least they're trying very hard to make, especially in the service industry, to make up that difference with tips. Mm-hmm. But for the most part here, people get paid a certain amount and tips are just extra. Mm-hmm. So they're like, well, I don't need your money because a tourist is going to come in the next few minutes and beat mm-hmm. that 5 EC you're going to give me with a 20 US bill anyway. So hold your money. Who you think you are? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that we need to work on for sure.
But I think it's a matter of being progressive about what you want your business to look like and how things are with modern times, right? Because even there are Google reviews and stuff like that the business owners never go back and look at, right?
They need to be looking into those things because that can tell them a lot about what's going on in the business and what they can correct.
And if what people say is a priority, if their reputation is really a priority, right?
Yeah.
Remember when businesses had this thing with putting their number and what do you think about my driving on the back of every vehicle that they had?
Yeah.
Bring that back to regular business. Like just what do you think about our customer service? You have a box, you have a phone number on it. You have a website link, you have a QR code, whatever it might be, and just get feedback from as much people as you can.
Adani, here's the thing. And you yourself said it earlier, but they have to be willing to take that feedback. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You said it, Adani. Because, people will set up those things, like you say, just for sure to make it seem like they're taking in the feedback. But they're receiving it. Sometimes them sit there, they read it, they listen and they just throw it away. They have to be receptive to the feedback and make changes based on what they are in.
Yeah. And I think like we had spoke about in a previous episode about millennials and love. I think when a lot of our young entrepreneurs look at stuff from social media, they see a lot of the bad in customer service, and then they in turn try and reenact that a couple of incidents over the last couple of years have been younger entrepreneurs there's customer service up to a point and then it just 180s into just steamrolling the customer. I don't care what you have to say.
Well, and that happened recently. That happened in Tenusha. Somebody who was an influencer posted on a story saying that, I'm sorry, I won't recommend this. Look at this, it's oily. Look at this, whatever, to their audience.
Yeah.
And then the brand, which is owned by a younger person, went on their social media talking out against this and even went on live.
So there was a war?
And went on live and was bashing the person the customer that had negative things to say, right?
To the point where they're calling out the person's size and looks. Yeah, and
personal attack, right? So
I miss all of that, missing?
Yeah, so it's like, it doesn't, age doesn't matter, right? It's still a mindset and, you know, and that's the thing, right? It's hard when you put your love into something and, you know, somebody, it's not well received by somebody, or it may be conscious, you may see something like somebody's bashing something. I understand the passion and whatnot, but you just have to, you know, brush it off and say, I'm not doing for everybody. You know, it's not for everybody, but also then maybe reassess, okay, do I need to change something?
Yes, sometimes you have to be able to tell when somebody's actively trying to bash you, or when somebody's just trying to help you better your product and better your service.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
And here's the thing. This person went, the business owner went and did it on a social media live, but the thing is, there are business owners that probably do it in person and not in a social media forum, you know, like they'll
in such a mass forum like that.
Yeah, they may do it amongst their friends, they may do it even with other customers, they still speak on it in a public forum, but that's not the right, you know, way. And the thing is, the countries are so small, like, you know, what's the point?
I don't know. I did not know that went on.
I mean, there are a few things. There was even something recently where I saw there was another post where somebody is a business owner. Oh, another business owner in St. Lucia. Somebody came to their bar, was a patron or something, and asked them to change money, and they said they couldn't change the money. I'm sorry, I don't have that to change. And then the person started like going in on them, you know, for that. And then another customer at the bar said, oh, I can change it for you. And the person is still going on about, oh, this place is horrible, blah, 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 blah. Oh, you should be serving me as a customer. But to me, I'm not a bank. And then that person went on their social media to then bash the place about whatever. But the place is not a money exchange store, right? So how could you be going and, you know, bash them on one thing? And here's the thing. I also think it's kind of tricky because cancel culture has become cool. It's like business owners are also put in a difficult situation where somebody could eat your food and not like it and move on, and now people going online and doing that kind of thing. So it's difficult.
The customer service thing, there's two sides to it. Yes, the people working there can give better customer service. No doubt about it. But the customers themselves, they come in with unrealistic expectations sometimes. And then when they do get what they want, they don't get it the way they want it, their reaction, they sometimes escalate the situation and make it go bad. So what you give there is a perfect example. You come to a bar and you ask them to exchange money and they tell you they cannot do it because they don't have what you need to do it. And then you blow up about it. So, then now if the owner of the bar goes online and bash in response to what you did, you can't really be mad because you kind of started it. You kind of pushed him there. He was trying to be nice to you, like, hey, I can't really do it. I don't have it. And then you blow up on him, oh, you should treat me as a customer. First of all, he was not treating you like a customer. He just said, I cannot do it. I can give you a drink. I can give you a water. I can give you some soda. But I don't have what you need to change that money. Keep it moving. So, I don't know. People have unrealistic expectations. Then they get into
certain things. Because let's say, right, it's also difficult for somebody like me and you. We live up here. We used to a certain level of service. We go to a restaurant, we expect our food to come out boom bam, right? There have been instances we maybe go to a restaurant or somewhere back home, and then it just. It, boy, I remember it was like one of the first nights Vernon was not even there. Danny was there. It took like over an hour or something to get some burgers.
Oh, yes, yes. To the point where if we didn't have a cooler and our entertaining selves, we would have left and gone somewhere else. But
even if I was there and you had a cooler, I would have left there. Yeah,
well, and like there were a lot of people there waiting these unreasonable amounts of time. And part of me would have been like, oh, can I get my money back? Let me just go and, you know, do whatever, right? That's what I would have been like in the States, right? But I had to kind of quell myself to be
here's
like...
The thing. You would have been like, can I get my money back and gone? But you would have gone. You would not have gone online and bashed them. You would not have been by their thing cursing and making noise. Oh, I want my food. I waited how long? You know what?
But sometimes it feels like that's how you have to communicate in a solution environment. I feel like sometimes, like in the old days, when we used to have to be at a bar fighting for drinks. Right,
I get what you're saying,
you know, like customer service, right? As a bar fighting for drinks, you know, times, you know, when there were like male bartenders and a whole thing, I used to like go and put myself on the bar, tits out, you know, like
damn, whoa,
no, but like when you fight
what it, oh my God. Well, my girl, use all the tools at your disposal.
No, but even when people
if I have to put something on the counter and it's a female bartender, I do anything.
No, but even so, there were y'all know, like fighting for drinks at the bar, right? People come there who haven't been there before,
and they get the drink before you,
and they come and they shout
because they know the bartender,
right? Or because they loud or whatever.
Yeah, forceful.
And then you almost have to sometimes beg the bartender, like, "Is your CI there for how long? You can't give me my thing yet."
And then the bartender want to give you attitude when you pay your money for an all-inclusive and you want to get three or four drinks at the same time and they want to give you attitude because, you know, maybe but I'm not all-inclusive.
Because I never experienced that. That's probably the one that came in. Oi. Like,
but usually I know the bartender, so I just pull up and I just, you know, make eye contact and that's it. Like, but there have been times in like wed sessions where, you know, it's just...
Yeah, what Anushka is saying is right. So then
the thing is, Vernon would always send me and fight for drinks.
So then, yeah, because I got people being all upon me. All upon him. But miss it. So am I saying? So then, it's a culture thing then we be dealing with here.
Yep.
Because
and it's also the customer and the person just talking to each other anyway.
That's what I was about to say. Yeah. It's not just the person talking to the customer. It's how the customer talking to the person as well. So then we have a bigger issue here then.
It's like the variations of talking, like one, how Danny said, when you come in nice and you feel like you have to sweet talk, like,
yeah,
hey, my girl, how you doing today?
Can looking I good, eh? Whatever? Hey. You're looking good behind the counter there.
Right? And I've had to do it as a woman, right? Like, you know better the women or whatever.
So then, we just need to go into the transaction being pleasant to each other. End of story. You don't necessarily have to...
But sometimes you almost have to be like more because their face so beast and set up walk in there as if they don't want to be there. But
so
it's
then,
like,
here's the thing.
I'm not trying to have your negative energy.
But could it be that they feel set up and whatnot because of a previous transaction that did not go well?
That's not my problem, though.
You think in the culture. You rolling the stone down the road.
No, but that's
my problem.
But that's not what I'm saying is brush it off and get on to the next thing. But it's not my problem. But I have to fix myself so that I don't better brunt.
Exactly.
Of your...
I get that. And I get that it's not your problem. But you just say it there. So then you come in, you read the situation, and you play the game accordingly.
Yeah,
you know?
For what I want to receive.
Yes. Boy, I don't know.
But here's the thing. We do it so quick and on the fly because we're used to it.
Yeah.
That you don't realize
that you're doing
exactly what you're doing. Yeah. Or if you're in a different environment and you come back, you're like, oh yeah, I have to do this here.
It should not have to be that way, where it's like you have to play a game and like you say, it's right. You're right, Anushka. Just brush it off, dog. Like, keep it moving. You know, it is what it is. The last customer wasn't you know, the best, but you can't bring that attitude.
You know, the other thing, like, besides just being nice, sense of urgency. That's the other one. Right?
So like, not quick enough for you now.
No, but you know, like, they have to do something, they're dragging their feet to go and do that, you know, one thing to the next. But again, y'all,
I feel you. That is a common island thing.
That's not true. I've worked in customer facing situations, but not somebody, like food service.
Somebody who listens to this episode of the podcast and all they hear you doing is bashing the customer service.
Let me give you all another side. When you go somewhere that really has really lovely customer service, and it's good, I mean, usually it's because there's one or two people there that just really good at customer service, but it's really, really enlightening to go there. Like, there's some places I go in the marina sometimes, and I get really good customer service. Like, if anything is wrong, they'll take it back, they'll refund you, no problem, nothing's not too much, no attitude, nothing. Just good customer service. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I can enjoy eating here. Sometimes I don't even mind paying more money just because the customer service, it will not stress me out. Like, that's at the point I'm at life, right? And I remember coconuts, we would go there and then get the if something is not prepared properly, they take it back to the kitchen, prepare it again. The drink's not made properly, take it back, prepare it again. Like, you know, like, just good, solid customer service. Like, when it's good. But when it's bad, oh Lord, sign of the cross.
Well, that's the thing. It seems like it's always extremes. Either it's good or it's bad. It's never like, you know, in the middle.
Yeah. For the most part, I would say in America, I get a lot better customer service majority of the time. But when you get it very good in St. Lucia, it's top notch. But for the most part, it's not top notch most of the time. It's below average. So the more developed country, like, it's like good, decent customer service is a standard level. Like, you know, you can go there, you can refund, you can get a refund if you don't like the food, nobody give you attitude. Like, that's decent, that's just standard. When you get that in St. Lucia, that's like next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like it's not chummy, it's like, it's still very transactional. But it's like nice.
Let me see. You all know why? Because they're looking for tips. So let me ask you a question.
No. Like, just think if you go and do it.
But even when they're not working for tips, like, yeah, for instance, we would go Costa Vida.
Exactly.
Right? Yes. And I never tip anybody there, but, you know, I never felt like I got attitude, or, you know, I just put everything on my plate.
Was still, well, there's even a level like before that, because that was very good customer service, because they remembered you and spoke to you each time, would make jokes and stuff like that, right?
We came in there fairly often.
But there was a level before that, right? There's a level before that where if you just go in somewhere, they're nice, but it's still very transactional, right?
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you another question. And I think that'll be my last question. Do you all think if the people in customer service in the Caribbean got paid more or paid better, that would make them happier and increase the level of customer service that people would receive from them?
I think if they had to get paid more or better, it would have to be from customer service related metrics. If you just increase their salary out of the blue without any connection to customer service metrics, I think nothing would change. You'll just be making more money to the point where, well, they really don't care. But if you were like, your customer service feedback enables you to get more money, like the way they have it centered at like at the call centers, your incentive is to sell. When you sell, you get paid more. So people sell out the wazoo. So if you're for your customer service metric, your incentive is that you must have 10 good reviews for the month or whatever it might be, depending on your customer outreach, and then you get an extra $1,000 or extra $500, then I think it would actually improve. The other thing that might get it to improve would probably be having some customer service related activities in school, like in terms of like in civics class and, you know, the classes where we are learning about ethics and these things, like just incorporating more of that into the average average person's curriculum, that, you know, you don't have to be wrong and strong, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, like, that's just basic ethics.
So my reason for asking that, and I ask that because y'all made a point, and it's something I realized. You would say, you know, you come in and the person look like they don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I asked that. Like, you think, like, if by making them want to be there, like, you know, you're getting paid, but you want to be there, that make them happier, make them want to, you know, give better customer service. But Adan, your idea, that's a very good idea, honestly. That's a very good idea. That incentive-based type of thing where you give them a goal, like, yo, get 10 good reviews for the month and get an extra how much, and, you know, that's a very good idea. I like that. Maybe somebody would incorporate something like that, and, you know, that'll, you know, raise up customer service. But until then, I guess we're fighting the people. Because that's what it seems like, yeah? From what you're all saying, it seems like every time somebody do like customer service in a business somewhere, it's some kind of blowout that happening.
Yeah. For the most part, I will say I get good customer service because I come in a place and I'm upbeat, well, you know.
That's the thing. And yeah. you are generally a pleasant person.
They're smiling. Hey, you good? You safe? Very everything cool?
Exactly. How you gonna be to somebody who come in and they're generally nice to you? How you doing? Hope you're having a good day. You talking pleasant. You being respectful.
Just yesterday, I stopped for gas and the lady was like, you look very happy. I was like, my lady, I drive in that car. I cannot be upset. And she started laughing. You're looking real nice. I said, yeah. All is well. You're having a good weekend. We started a whole conversation while she's putting gas in the tank. And then I just said, yeah, well, take care. I'll see you around. Bye. Okay.
How you going to be mean to somebody who's talking to you like that? Sometimes you meet the person having a bad day. For all you know, the lady is having a bad day before you come there, you know, Danny. And then you talk to her that way, you ask her about her weekend, you crack a couple of jokes.
But that's the thing, right? It's the human aspect of it, right? Like meeting people as people, right?
And that's what I'm saying. Like the people, yes, they're behind the counter, they face it in a kind of way. But, bro, you come in to talk to a person. Mm-hmm. Be kind. They will probably reflect the kindness you're giving them. Or at least be less mean. Maybe they will be, maybe it means the next person that come after you will get a kinder version of the person you just dealt with.
Right,
So, yeah. You have anything to say in closing? Because I feel like we've covered a lot.
Love one another.
I feel, you know, you say it, but I feel all that just goes back to just being kind, you know.
Always be kind.
Like, you may not like your job and wonder, but just be kind. And Danny, you have anything to close out?
I would say, yeah, basically what you guys said. Just be if everybody tries to be a better person, then there won't be that many blowouts and, you know, just like, everybody just stop, think, okay, I'm going to explode now. Am I really going to get the result that I want? Or because what I really want is just good food. So what will allow me to get good food? And then the person on the other end is like, I could blow up or I could just bring it back to the kitchen and have them remake it and, you know, just
keep it moving.
Yeah, just keep it moving. Like, you know, why mess up my entire day and the business's reputation for one set of tacos? You know, like,
go bring it back to the kitchen, give him like a free soft drink.
Yeah, you know, simple things like that, you know, just pluck it the customer so simply. Like, sir, I understand you didn't like that. You're going to take $5 off your meal. $5, not a lot, but hey, that's something. Like, you know, like, okay, no problem.
But you know, doing something as simple like that, maybe the thing that make the person come back again.
Exactly.
Because he go remember, boy, I went there, boy, the first time they bring on the tacos, it wasn't looking too good. But then people were so nice to me, they take it back and, you know, they give me a little discount or they give me a free drink. That's the customer service I can deal with.
Yeah, exactly. And if it's one thing about us, we can be very passionate when we make up our minds. Like, I said, they're just starting out, this the business new. I go, you know, like Anushka was saying, you know, we were getting our burgers. You're like, the business new. We chilling, we friends, we go wait. We go somewhere else. We go just wait here and relax and chill. You know, when it come, it come.
Well,
but if we were hungry, it would have been another story.
Oh my girl, we buck up long. We down the road. KFC open, yeah. Please send order in advance.
You know how I just get when I'm
hungry. I can tell you right now, if I was there, it would have been another story, dog. As I have gotten older, my patience for waiting for food has gone down like significantly. Like, we walked into a hibachi place one day and they were like, what, like 20, like 15, 20 minutes
to get seated.
I was like, nah, I'm out. Bye. Like later. Cool. Especially given that I looked and I saw the place was kind of empty. People just walking around, strolling about. I was like, no. We good. Yeah. But guys, it's been another episode of the Caribbean Millennials podcast. Remember, be kind to one another. We're out.